Our reader from home today is Linda Tegeter, who will be sharing our gospel reading.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. I have to confess right now that my holidays are all feeling a little bit mixed up. This whole year seems to have been a little weird with the holidays. I mean, I never really put out my Easter decorations because we were in quarantine. It was just our family. I did manage by the time the fall came around to put up some fall decorations, but Halloween definitely didn't feel the same. We spent a long time kind of agonizing over if we should get candy for trick-or-treaters or not, and ultimately it didn't feel like a safe choice for us, so we didn't. Thanksgiving coming now, and we're hearing the rise of COVID. Schools are starting to shut back down, and I kind of feel like I'm just ready to skip to Christmas. Now, maybe that's because at Christmas time, we're all supposed to be home, it kind of feels like. That Christmas break, all gathered around the tree. And so Christmas maybe feels like it's an okay thing to celebrate. Ready to jump right to Christmas? Honestly, We've already put up one Christmas tree in our house. Haven't decorated it yet. Yet. Soon. And now that we just heard that both of our children will no longer be going to school anymore, they have been put into quarantine for both of their schools, I am ready for Christmas to come. So maybe we're going to decorate that tree a little bit early, stay at home, and maybe it'll feel a little more normal. I don't really know. But as I hear this story today that we heard in our gospel, I'm drawn to the story because it speaks about joy. Enter into the joy of your master. And I feel like I'm ready for some joy right now. And I think for me, I often associate this word joy with the Advent and Christmas season with that beautiful song, Joy to the World. And so in this mixed up world, I hear these words, enter into the joy of your master. And they're words that soothe my soul. Words that I think all of us long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And yet this parable is kind of a strange parable because not everyone is experiencing this joy. So let's look a little bit deeper at this parable that Jesus teaches. This parable of the talents comes in the midst of three parables in Matthew chapter 25, which talk to us about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Matthew 25 begins, "The kingdom of heaven will be like," and then goes on to share the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the parable of the talents, and next week we'll hear about the parable of the sheep and the goats. These are parables. They're stories and images that give us a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is like. They can't fully describe it. Words fail to fully describe what the kingdom is like, but in these stories, we get pieces and glimpses of what God's kingdom, God's heaven, is like. Now, this parable of the talents begins with a master who is very wealthy and is going on a journey. He entrusts his servants with all his property. One servant is given one talent, another two talents, another five talents. And when we hear this story, we often think about the word talent like we use that word today. A talent as a gift or ability that God's given us. But in Jesus' time, the word talent actually meant something really different. The word talent was a monetary unit. It described a sum of money. And a talent was equal to 15 years of income. It's a lot of money if we think about it. Now, I don't know how much money you've made, so I'll just give some varieties of sums. But to think about, maybe if you made $30,000 a year, 15 talents, about $500,000. I mean, 15 years, one talent, $500,000. Now, $50,000 a year, that'd be $750,000. And maybe if you make $100,000, there's not a lot of those out there, but some people make $100,000, $1.5 million. Well, regardless of how much you would make in a year, 15 years of wages, that's a lot of money. I mean, even $500,000 would be great. That's the part, that's the servant that gets one talent. $500,000 to be able to care for. Vast, vast sums of money that are entrusted by the master to these servants. And then the master goes away on a journey, entrusts all his wealth to these servants. There's deep trust that these servants will take care of what the master has given them. Faith and trust that they will do a good job and take care of what they have been entrusted with. And the master leaves for a long time, it says. Now, if I were the master, I would call back and check on them a lot to make sure they were really staying in line. But this master doesn't. This master has deep trust that they are going to take care of what they have been given. Doesn't give instructions about the right and wrong thing to do with his money. Just leaves for a long time and trusts that they'll take care of it. Allowing these servants to live faithfully with this super abundance that they've been given. Now these servants react differently to this charge. The first two servants, it says, they go out right away. Immediately they go out and begin to use the talent they've been given, taking risks with what the master's given, feeling confident that the master has entrusted them with these amazing gifts, and it's their responsibility to do the best that they can because the master's really given them so much. And when the master comes back, there is great joy as the servants begin to share how they've used this generous gift that the master has entrusted them and that it's grown while the master's been gone. And the master then says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." This joy, these beautiful words we long to hear. But then there's this third servant. He goes and buries the talent. This third servant is ruled by fear. What if the money's lost? What if I risk? And what if the risk doesn't pay off? Maybe it's just better to bury it, and then I don't have to worry about it. And when the master returns, it says that the master receives back the talent. And the servant says, "Here, take back what's yours." The servant didn't seem to want that talent. It felt like a burden to be given that talent. This servant has a very harsh estimate of the master. This servant says, "I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what's yours." But the interesting thing, though, that's here that we see is that the servant actually gives no evidence to support his estimate of what the master is. It just says, "I knew this about you. I knew this is who you were." This servant is ruled by fear, and his perception of the master then impacts all his actions. Interestingly, the master neither confirms or denies the servant's assessment of him, but there may be a subtle note of surprise as you hear his response. "You knew, did you?" The servant is then thrown, we're heard, into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I always hate that part of the story, the weeping and gnashing of teeth part. I mean, why would the master be so harsh? But as we look deeper, I wonder if this is something that the master did to the servant, or maybe this outer darkness is already where the servant lives. The servant lives a life full of fear and suspicion of those all around, a life of loneliness and isolation, instead of judgment of what will be in a positive way, feeling judgment, feeling condemned. And so maybe this outer darkness that the servant is in is simply a confirmation of what already is. Confirmation of the outer darkness of debilitating fear where the servant already resides. I know this is a little bit out there, but since you know my holidays are all a little mixed up anyway, one of the stories that someone mentioned in Bible study on Wednesday that really resonated to help us kind of dive deeper into this point is the story A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. In the story A Christmas Carol, the main character is Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer had vast sums of money, but lived in fear and suspicion that there would not be enough. He refuses a dinner invitation from his nephew Fred, turns away two men who are looking for a donation to provide food and heating for the poor, and then very grudgingly allows his overworked and underpaid clerk Bob Cratchit, Christmas Day off with pay, because that is what you were supposed to do back then. I would say Ebenezer Scrooge was already living in the outer darkness, if you ask me, an outer darkness of isolation and fear. Well, that night, the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future come to him, and through their revelations, he begins to see the error of his ways, and he wakes on Christmas Day to a life of generosity. Suddenly, he wants to share his wealth to help others. He makes a large donation to that charity that he had rejected the previous day. He anonymously sends a large turkey to the Cratchit home for that Christmas dinner and even spends the afternoon with his nephew Fred's family. The following day, this abundance continues. He decides he's going to give Bob Cratchit a raise and eventually even becomes a father figure to Bob Cratchit's son, Tiny Tim. From that point on, Scrooge treats everyone with kindness and generosity and compassion, and he may be giving away more, but his life feels richer, full of joy. He is no longer alone, but through sharing and giving away, he has received even more. The outer darkness disappeared as he began to share and trust that there was enough. And truly, this is the invitation of the parable. The master possesses the gifts of talents and invites his servants to share in this joy. The master shares vast and generous gifts, so much so that there's a superabundance of gifts. I mean, it's overwhelming to think how much has been shared, an overflowing of grace and love and joy, and talents, and money. This is what this story is about, our whole lives. Lives of abundance, superabundance. All we have has been given to us by God, our time, our talents, and our money. Given to us by a generous, loving, and compassionate master who is filled with joy and wants us to have that same joy too. A story about a God who lives generously and invites us to do the same, to enter into the joy of our master. The joy that comes as we recognize the great gifts we've already been given and begin to share them with others. This is not so much a story about if you share here on earth, you're going to go to heaven, and if you keep it all to yourself, oop, weeping and gnashing teeth for you. No. I think it's more a story about now, about the kingdom of heaven that we experience here and now in our lives, that this generous master, full of joy, has blessed us. And as we share these gifts, we find that they multiply and they bring us joy as well. This generous master, God, loves you, accepts you, believes in you, trusts you, and invites you to enter into the joy of the Master as we live generous lives full of courage and compassion and confidence with the invitation, enter in to the joy of your Master. Thanks be to God. Amen.